So you want to live your dream life of ministry, do you? And you believe that having a highly productive team is the key to you living your dream life. But you don't feel you even know how to train your staff. You're not even sure what to train them in. You don't even know that you can develop them to the level of highly productive so that you can pave the way for you to live your own dream life. Well, in today's episode, what I want to do is I want to help you see, number one, that you already know exactly how to train your staff. You already know, you've already been doing it. It's something that you've already learned the skill to do. And then I'm also going to show you what it is you can use to train, how to train them, what to train them in, and equip you with everything you need to get your staff up and running so they can be highly productive. So let's get started. So the big question is this. How do pastors like us who remain focused on the mission of Jesus and serving our communities without being distracted by everything in the world around us, how do we increase our effectiveness while living a lifestyle that doesn't compromise our health, our families, or our personal relationships with Jesus? That's the question this podcast is going to answer. I'm Dr. Brandon Party. Welcome to the Ministry Hackers Podcast. Welcome everyone to this episode of the Ministry Hackers Podcast. I hope you're doing wonderfully. Wherever you are in the country, whatever it is you're doing while you're listening to this podcast, I hope you're doing well. For those who may be new here, do not know who I am, my name is Dr. Brandon Partycooper. I am the founder here at Ministry Hackers. I'm your host for the podcast. And the one thing that we do here, the number one thing we're focused on here at Ministry Hackers is helping you as a pastor and ministry leader live your dream life in ministry, whatever that looks like. We don't define what that is. We're not going to tell you what that dream life is. But we do believe that God has designed it for you. It's out there waiting, and too many pastors don't live it. And so what we do is we try to help you discover what your dream life in ministry is so you can start living it right away. And I'm inviting you to come along with me this summer as we help you discover what your dream life in ministry is. So if you want to go to ministryhackers.com/mydreamlife, and you can see exactly how we can come alongside you and help you discover what your dream life looks like, help you discover what God has designed for you, and help you live it for you, for your congregation, and for your family. Help you pastor that growing church while spending time with your family, having those hobbies, going on vacations, and living the dream life in ministry that God has designed for you, that He wants you to live, that He's created for you as a gift. And help you discover what that is so you can start living it. So again, go to ministryhackers.com/mydreamlife, get signed up today, and we can start looking and discovering what your dream life and ministry looks like right away. Well, as all of you know, we have been celebrating our 100th episode here at Ministry Hackers of the podcast. So just a couple of days ago was episode 100. And we celebrated it, talked about kind of where we've been, kind of where we've come from, our little bit of history. And it's been a great week. Yesterday, we interviewed Chris McClure, the author of Magnetic Leader, and just had a great conversation with him. And I hope you took a chance to go get his book and go to his website, get an autographed copy straight from Chris. It's a great opportunity. It's a great book. It's really kind of a more of a manual, as I said in the interview yesterday. It's more of a manual that you keep with you that you can keep going back to and pulling out nuggets and gems that you can apply to your own leadership so that you can increase your ability to influence people, draw them to you, and point them to Jesus. And so it's a great book. I encourage you to grab a hold of it. And so Chris came in to help us celebrate this 100th episode week. And tomorrow we're going to have another interview with Lauren Zamora, and we're going to talk about his new book again, talk about just how impactful his book is for you, and we'll reveal what that is and talk about it tomorrow as I interview with him. And so it's just a good week, great week to celebrate the last 100 episodes, the last year and a half or so. We started in January of 2020 before the whole world went crazy, and we kind of navigated through all of that, and here we are. Today is episode 102. And so it's just been a great ride and a great opportunity. And I want to take a moment today, and I want to thank a lot of people that made this possible. And first and foremost, I want to thank my wife, Carissa, who makes all of this possible. She puts up with all the craziness and all the equipment that I drag into the house and set up, and, you know, all the odd hours that I spend working on this and developing it. And And sharing with you. So huge thank you to her and her support and love and encouragement and everything. For those of you who have ever started a business or ever planted a church or ever tried to create something from nothing, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of challenge, and it's a lot of downtimes, a lot of times where you're just not sure it's ever going to work. And so I've appreciated my wife all along the way, supporting me, loving me, encouraging me, and keeping me going all the way through these 102 episodes. And so I'm very thankful for her. I also want to thank my co-host, Matt Wozbinski, Pastor Matt Wozbinski, the illustrious co-host that I had for the first several episodes as we navigated the first year. His job as pastor, he's a connections pastor, and it's gone crazy over the last several months, and they've been moving from a mobile format into a new building. And so he's been crazy trying to orchestrate all of that and work it all through. And so he's not been able to join for the last several months. But honestly, this podcast would not be what it is without him. We launched it together, and him and I working together is really what helped me become more comfortable in front of the camera and behind the microphone. And so just a huge thank you to him, because probably without his support on the front end and really kind of helping me develop this podcast, we wouldn't have made it to 100. We probably wouldn't have made it to episode 10, because it was really rough there in the beginning. And without him and his comic relief and his willingness to make fun of me along the way, I probably wouldn't have kept going. And so huge thank you to him. Also to Jason Baca, who is the only person that has done a solo episode here on the Ministry Hackers podcast. He helped me over these last couple of months, really just kind of hone in what we're doing here at Ministry Hackers, helped me get focused, and really helped me to land on the mission of what we do, and that's helping you as pastors and ministry leaders live your dream life in ministry. It was our conversations and us digging through kind of the mission that God has given me and really what I want to accomplish here at Ministry Hackers. And so just really thankful for him and the conversations and his willingness to be open and upfront and honest and push back and poke in the right places and really push me. And even in our conversation over these last several months or several weeks, I mean, we've talked a lot about the value of a staff and how important they are in helping us live our dream life in ministry. Well, Jason has been a huge example of that for me, as he's just been a lot of support and a lot of love and willing to say the things that, you know, nobody else either was willing to say, or I just didn't have anybody around to say it to me. It's been nice to have him just help me through that. And so, you know, so just very thankful for him. And obviously, I just want to thank all of you, all the listeners and everybody that has tuned in and been a part and, you know, who have stuck with me all along the way and all through the ups and downs and the changes. And, you know, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for all of those who are across the country and even around the globe. We have listeners all over the world, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you take time out of your day to spend with me. You take time out of your day to just listen in. And my hope and my prayer is that there's value added to each of you that take that time and listen in and really dig into where you are and apply what you're learning here at the Ministry Hacker Podcast and really change your world, whether it's your congregation, whether it's your business, whether it's your family or your community, whatever it is. I hope that you're able to apply what you're learning here and what we're talking about and make a difference wherever you are for the sake of Christ and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And finally, I just want to thank all of my guests who have come on the show over the last year and a half. We've had several come on. Lots of them are authors, friends, pastors around the country who've come on and just shared their heart, shared their ministry experience, and shared what God is doing where they are. And so, again, you know, this podcast is not just me. It's more than me. And if it was just me, it wouldn't be where it is today. And so I'm thankful for everybody who put in their time and their effort and their support. And so I just thank everybody out there for being a part of the Ministry Hacker Podcast, for sending me, you know, encouraging notes and loving on me and pushing back in the times and places that I needed to be pushed back, and really just supporting all along the way. Because the mission is not just to have a podcast. You know, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to help you as pastors and ministry leaders, we're trying to help you, number one, discover what your dream life in ministry looks like. And part of the Ministry Hacker vision is we are trying to, you know, discover the ways to do ministry that are impactful and change lives and help us to pastor growing churches, but also allow us to live that dream life of ministry, be with our families and go on vacations and have a healthy approach to life. And so that's our mission. That's our goal. And everybody that supports what we do here, support me, support the podcast, come on as guests, whatever you do, whatever your support level is, I'm just thankful for it because it helps us fulfill the mission that God gave me my first week in Bible college, over 20 years ago. And that is to serve pastors and ministry leaders so that they can live a more healthy lifestyle, so they can be more impactful in ministry, so they can leave a legacy for them and their families and make an impact in this world. And so your support and everything that everyone along the way has done to help bring that into a reality, I'm so thankful for. And I continue to look forward to getting to know more of you and connecting with more of you and hearing how the Ministry Hacker community is benefiting you and helping you. And so so to the next 100 episodes or 500 episodes or whatever it is, however long we go, whatever God has in store for us, I'm just thankful that we're here at this point in time, that many of us have come together along the way, and we have a growing Ministry Hacker community making a difference, changing lives, and advancing the kingdom of God so that we can live that dream life of ministry that God's designed for us. So those are my thank yous. All right. So, we've been talking about living this dream life of ministry, and on episode 100, we talked about, how oftentimes we say, we don't have time. I don't have time to develop a highly productive staff. If a highly productive staff is the key to living my dream life in ministry, I just don't have time to develop that highly productive staff. So what I would argue is that if you don't have time to develop your highly productive staff, then you will never live your dream life in ministry. Either you will have to make the choice that you're not going to live that dream life that God's created for you, or you're going to choose to step out of ministry and live that dream life in some other vocation doing something else. But if you want to live that dream life in ministry, you must develop a highly productive staff. So you have to find time to do that. Okay, but so you found time. I have time now. I'm pastor. I now have time to develop my staff, but I don't know how to develop my staff. So what do I do now? And that's what I want to talk about. This is kind of what I want to tackle today is I want to talk about not only the how you develop them, but this feeling or this doubt that you may have that you don't know how. When I was a youth pastor, when I started out in ministry, and really, hold on, let me back up a little bit further. So when I started out in ministry, I was a youth leader. I was a youth leader at a church in Springfield, Missouri, while I was going to Bible college. And my number one responsibility, what I was recruited to do, was to lead ministry teams. That was kind of the overarching title that I had. I was recruited by the youth pastor who I'd known here in Iowa. He was a youth pastor here, and he moved down to Springfield, Missouri. And he found out that I was down there, and he recruited me to come on board with him. And he recruited me to oversee the ministry teams. But what I found out really quickly was that the ministry teams are just kind of the umbrella that he wanted me to oversee. What he really wanted me to do, the number one thing that he wanted me to focus on, was developing and training the human video team. Now, some of you out there have no idea what human videos are, and that's really, quite honestly, that's a tragedy as far as I'm concerned, because human videos were an incredible tool for ministry, especially on the mission field and in street outreach, things like that. So for those who don't know what a human video is, I really am not even sure that I can explain it. So it's set to music. It's like a drama set to music. That may be the easiest explanation. It's not dancing, but it's drama set to music. So you're not really saying any lines or anything like that. You're just choreographing a drama set to music with lip syncing, I guess is what you could say. And so that's what a human video is. And early on in ministry for me, that's kind of the avenue that got me into ministry. I was saved when I was a freshman in high school, when I was a sophomore, I was still kind of living this double life and not really sure what Christianity looked like. And, I was living with my grandma at the time. And so there was this thing starting out of the church. They were training our youth group to do human videos. And I just went. My grandma sent me, asked me if I wanted to go. I said, sure, I went. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was getting into. And it turned out that I was actually pretty good at human videos, and I did it all through high school, all through college, and was the reason why this pastor at Central Assembly asked me to come on his young adult or his youth staff to train his youth group in human videos. And so that's what I did. And so I did. I trained human videos. I was good at human videos. I had to learn how to train. I had to break it down. I had to figure out the moves. I had to take what was intuitive to me, and I had to train the students how to do it. And not only that, I had to train them how to be a team. I had to teach them how to work together. You know, there was a lot in it, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was just, you know, I was just a, you know, 19, 20 year old kid, just wanting to make a difference. I was doing something that I enjoyed doing in human videos and drama. And so, so I trained that. And then a few years later, I was a youth pastor in Indianapolis, and I had the chance to coach the middle school football team for one of my students. One of my students was on the team at this school at Park Tudor was the name of the school. It was a middle school. And I had the opportunity to train or to coach the receivers. I was the receivers coach and the special teams coach. And I had played football all through high school. Was a student of football. At one point, I wanted to be a football coach. I actually went to my first year of college. I majored in history so I could be a history teacher, but then I minored in phys ed because my plan was to be a football coach. So I knew how to play football, but I had to figure out how do I break it down and teach these middle school students how to play football and play it well, and particularly the receivers. You know, how do you catch with your hands, and how do you make that diamond, and you know, how do you break out of your routes, and, you know, how do you get separation from your defender? All those things I had to figure out, things that I did naturally or things that I knew how to do because I had been coached to do them. How do I break them down and teach somebody else to do them? Well, what I realized later on, when I realized that I needed to train my staff, a pastoral staff and team, and What I realized is that I knew how to train because I had done it in human videos and I had done it as a football coach. I just needed to understand what I was training. And so I say all of that and I tell that story to encourage you. If you're sitting there and you're saying, yeah, I get that I need a highly productive staff in order to live my dream life in ministry. And I've now created time to do that. I have the time that I can use to train, but I have no idea how to train. If that's your thought, if that's your obstacle, if that's the challenge that you're facing, I'm gonna push back a little bit and say you already know how to train somebody because you're already doing it. As pastors and ministry leaders, what we essentially are already doing is teaching people how to do things, whether it's how to live a Christian life or how to be in a relationship with God or how to pray or how to, you know, do your devotions or how to read the Bible. Like, we are already naturally, as pastors and ministry leaders, we are already trainers. Now, we put it under the umbrella of we are discipling people, or we are, we're preaching, or, you know, we have these other monikers that we put. But at the end of the day, if we boil it down, it's really what we're doing is we're teaching and training. And so if you're saying, I don't know how to train, I would say you already know exactly how to train because you've already been doing it as a pastor and a ministry leader. So the question isn't really how do I train, because you already know how. It's just a matter of switching your gear away from I'm preaching or I'm teaching somebody how to be closer to God or I'm teaching them how to do a devotional. You're switching over to I'm training them how to do their job better. I'm training them on how to fulfill their responsibilities. I'm training them on how to pastor more effectively. I'm taking what I'm intuitively or have been trained to do, and I'm breaking it down in such a way that they can do it as well. And really what it comes down to, and I know we covered this two episodes ago, but it really comes down to time. Are you taking the time to figure out how to train? So think about, you know, let's just take preaching because it's what all of us are doing. If you're listening to this podcast and you're a pastor and ministry leader, most likely you are already preaching on some level. Maybe it's every week, maybe it's once in a while, whatever. But all of us preach at some point. And you already have a way that you approach preaching. Now, you may have a really refined, organized, set way of doing it, or you may just have kind of this haphazard, process that you go through. But for the most part, all of us get into a rhythm on how we preach. And so when somebody says, hey, will you teach me how to preach? All you have to do is take the time to sit back and say, okay, well, what do I do? How do I do it? Well, I do this, and then I do that, and then I do this step, and after I do that, then I do this. And if you sit and you think about it, you can figure out the process you use to prepare and deliver your sermons. Well, that's all training really is it's figuring out where the gaps are. Here are the gaps between where you are and where you need to be, or where I, as your pastor, as your ministry leader, this is where I need you to be, and here's the gap. Here's where what you know, and here's the gap that exists. And so then I either need to learn how to fill that gap, or I need to take what I already know, and I need to capture it in a step-by-step process or in some sort of framework or whatever. I need to capture that so that I can then give it to whoever it is that I'm training and help them fill the gap from where they are to where I need them to be. And so once I've learned it or have captured it, then I can give it to them and I can train them. And I say, okay, here you do this. And then after you do this, you do this. And you do it this way and you follow these steps and you do it boom, ba-dum, 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 down the way. And once you train them, then you delegate. You delegate it out in smaller pieces. So you don't just say, hey, here's how to preach. Now preach the next year for me. We don't do that. You say, okay, here, this is how you preach. And you can even say, here's how you preach. Now you're going to preach in a couple weeks. What I like to do is I say, here's how you preach. Here's how you create your sermon. This is how you deliver it. Here's how you preach. Now, why don't we preach together? Let's tag team. So then that person that I'm training now has me as a safety net and they get to walk alongside me as we develop a sermon. So then the next time we go up there and we preach a sermon together. Then the next time I say, okay, now that we preached one together, in a few weeks, I want you to preach one by yourself. And so I'm training them and I'm delegating in a proportional way. And the more they do it and the more that I trust them to do it and the more that their quality increases, then I can delegate completely. Then I can say, hey, you take the next 4 weeks and create a series and you do that. Hey, I'm going to be on vacation, you know, next month, or I'm going to go on sabbatical this summer. And so I want you to preach while I'm gone. Because you can delegate because you now have trained them and you have delegated out and you know their skill level. And then the final step is review and reinforce. So when they preach that first sermon by themselves, then you make a time after that and you sit down and you say, okay, here are all the things you did right. And then here are a couple of things you need to improve on. Maybe you did them wrong. Maybe you need to do them a little bit better, whatever. You review that. And then you reinforce what you train them to do. So in the review, maybe they went off script. And you said, okay, I showed you how to do it this way, but you decided to do it that way. Why? If they don't have a good reason, or if you, as the trainer, are saying, I really don't want that to look like that, then you just reinforce what you trained them originally. I get that you did it that way, and I appreciate that you want to go that way. I really want you to do it this way. And that's where you can kind of then start to see, are they going to submit and do what you ask them to do, or are they going to rebel and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. If that's the case and you find your way yourself not being able to work through that, then you start having the conversation of, okay, should you even be on the team? And that's a separate conversation and a separate framework that we can talk through. But how you train is you identify the gap, you learn, and then you capture it so that you can then train them and delegate. And once you train and delegate, then you can review and reinforce. Review their performance and then reinforce what you trained. And so then the question is, well, what am I training? And the simple answer is whatever you need them to know. So when you're saying, hey, here are all the things on my plate that need to be done. And in order for me to live my dream life in ministry, I need to have more time to do that. And in order to have more time, then I need to do less things. And here is something that I'm going to hand off to you. I'm going to train you how to do it. And so it's really a question of what are you wanting to offload? And again, the filter that we should be running through is, okay, if I, as the pastor, am going to offload this, the questions I need to ask are, is this something that absolutely needs done? And if so, then we move to the next step. But if not, let's eliminate it. If it doesn't need to be done, let's eliminate it. But if it does, if we say, yes, this absolutely needs to be done. Okay, so the next question is, can I automate this? Is this something that I can create an automation? Can I create a program that's going to do it for me? Is there a process that can make it happen without anybody actually touching it? So can I automate it? And if the answer is no, I can't automate it, then okay. Then now it's time to delegate. I need to find either somebody on my staff, a volunteer, somebody I can delegate out to. And once I've identified that person to delegate it out, then I go through this process of training. Identify the gaps from where they are to where they need to be in order to do this thing. Learn and capture so they now have a step-by-step manual way to do it. Train, make sure that they're competent, make sure they feel equipped, make sure they know what they're doing. Delegate to them incrementally in at an appropriate level where they can be successful. And then after you've delegated, then come back and review their performance and reinforce the training that you gave them. That's how you train your staff to be highly productive. And so again, you're already good at training. That concept of training is built into who we are as pastors and ministry leaders. So that is taken care of. This is just a simplified process to allow you to go through the steps to actually train. And then the what do I train? It's simple. Whatever you need to teach them. And maybe you don't have the answer. Maybe you're trying to teach them some leadership principle, or you're trying to teach them some productivity principle, or whatever it is that maybe you're not very good at, or you don't have a process, or even when you think about how you do it, you have a hard time like capturing it. There are tons of resources. There are tons of training videos. There are tons of people like myself who do training and do consulting and help teams get better. There's sky's the limit on what's out there. And so if you say, you know what, I really don't have the skill, the time, the knowledge, the know-how, whatever, to train this appropriately or effectively, there are resources out there you can get that will train your team for you. So if you're saying, I know that I can train, I just don't know how to train, here's the process you can use. And if this still doesn't work for you, then get a resource to train and help them. Because again, that highly productive staff is your key to living your dream life in ministry. And I think it's something worth pursuing. I think it's something worth investing into. It's something worth putting time and energy into figuring out how to make it happen. And so you're already a good trainer. Now you just have to know what to train and how to do it. So, because again, the goal is to help you live your dream life of ministry, because God's created for you. It's out there. He just wants you to discover what it is and start living it. And when you start living your dream life of ministry, that becomes an example to the rest of your team, to the rest of your staff, becomes an example to the rest of your congregation, becomes an example to the rest of the community that you can pastor a growing church and live your dream life. You can have that business and live your dream life. You can do whatever it is that God's called you to do and live the dream life that he's created you to live. Those two things do go hand in hand, no matter what situation you're in, what reality, what calling you have. God has created each one of us a life that is filled with joy and love and compassion and hope and all these things that God promises. It's filled with that, but too few of us live it. And if you can find the time to train and you know how to train, then you're on your way to living your dream life in ministry. And so I encourage you to do that, to find the time and to start training your team. And if you want help, and if you want to come alongside me and others to discover what your dream life in ministry is, walk you through the frameworks and help you step by step, you can go to ministryhackers.com/mydreamlife and get started. Let's start pursuing your dream life in ministry right now. So by the end of the summer, you will be ready to go living your dream life, which is super exciting when I think about it, because I would love to see you live your dream life and hear what your dream life looks like, what God's created for you and how that looks. And so, again, go to mysteryhackers.com/mydreamlife, check it out and start living your dream life by the end of this summer. So the rest of this week, like I said, we're going to have Lauren Zamora in tomorrow, and we're going to interview him and talk to him about his new book. And then Friday, we're going to wrap up episode 104. We're going to wrap up this wonderful week as we celebrate episode 100 and celebrate everything God has done here at the Ministry Hacker community in your life, in your ministry, and what God is doing. So hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, and I will see you in the next episode.